Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hi, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks.
Trail Mix is the mini-episode version of our main stage podcast, Gaze at the National Parks. The long-format version of our show is one hike through one national park, one park at a time. But Trail Mix is an opportunity for us to tell you some other things about the national parks, or tell you a little bit more about things we didn't get to cover in our large episodes.
We may also talk about different trips that we've taken that aren't national parks related, or things that are maybe just going on in the world, or things that are going on but maybe not related to the park we're talking about at that specific time.
And today is part 3 in a serial story of our road trip from New Jersey to Florida and all the way back. So where did we leave off last time, Mike?
So last time we talked about our trip through Disney World, through all 4 Disney parks.
We did. We did all 4 Disney parks in one day.
In a single day. It was the Saturday of Easter.
It's true. I'm sure other people have done that before.
Yeah.
But as spry 21-year-olds that we were at the time when we did that, we were exhausted at the end of that day.
Yeah.
We were going to go celebrate at the Disney boardwalk at the end of the day, but my goodness, we could not do that.
No, our bodies gave out on us.
Ubered back to my uncle's house and we collapsed.
We collapsed. It's true. Yeah, no, we did, because we knew we were getting up early the next day too, because we were planning on doing a Universal run.
For Universal Studios.
Yep, for Sunday.
Here we are, it's Sunday, and we're headed to Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. But really, there's only one reason we're going to Universal Studios, and that is because of
Harry Potter
World.
Yeah.
I had been to Harry Potter World not long after it opened.
Okay, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, like I had been there one time before. I went with my mom. Mm-hmm. Because my mom ran a half marathon in Disney World, and I flew down to see her run this half marathon. And I said, oh my God, can we please go to Harry Potter World? Mm-hmm. So literally, she picked me up from the airport and we went to Harry Potter World, because that was the only time in that like sort of weekend that we would have to do it.
Yeah.
So we went, and it was only the Hogsmeade section of Harry Potter World.
They hadn't opened the castle at that point, right?
Well, they had opened like the Hogwarts castle, but they had not opened
Platform
Diagon Alley in the other park.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there are 2 parks at Universal Studios. There's Universal Studios, and then there's Universal Studios Islands of Adventure.
Right.
And they are right next door, literally. And you can pay
for one or the other.
Or both. So we wanted to see both Harry Potter worlds.
Well, I think we wanted to see, we did want to see both Harry Potter worlds. And we were like, oh, can this just be a one ticket thing? And no.
Oh, no, no.
Because Universal's like, no.
No, no, no. You're going to pay
like,
double
rake
for that,
you over
girl.
The coals.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And I think the crazy thing is like when we got there, it was like, I think we said something like the four park hopper for a day was like $150. And for the 2 parks, I think it was the same price. It was like something like comparable in price, but not comparable as far as like attractions go. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So it was super disappointing there in that
regard. Well, yeah. But I wasn't disappointed by Harry Potter World.
No.
Certainly
no.
not.
No.
We went into proper Universal Studios first.
Well, let's back it up a little bit. We left your uncle's and we actually drove from your uncle's, because when we went to Disney World, we had Ubered there to avoid like having to pay the parking fee.
Oh, that's right.
So we went to, like, we left your uncle's. Your uncle gave us those fans.
Oh, that's right. He did give us
He was like really like hard pressed to give us these fans from like Thailand, maybe.
I think they were Thailand.
Yeah. And we left and we drove away. And we wanted to stop at like a Shaw's for something. I feel like it was like sunscreen or sunglasses.
Shaw's.
Isn't that the food store down there? No, that's in Boston. Sorry.
Yeah. With Shaw's Publix. Is Publix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girl, Publix. Don't get it twisted. It's Publix. All right.
So we tried
One time I had to invent a wedding cake because my cousin was getting married and the local person she'd hired to make the wedding cake had dropped the cake on the way to the venue.
Totally screwed.
And
the
I had 45 minutes to
make it work, people.
To make it work, people, to figure out a cake.
Right.
Like in 45. So I got in a car and I dashed to Publix.
Mm-hmm.
You took Gundy. And I found the manager there. Her name was Sissy. And I was like, Sissy, you've got to help me. I've got to turn some birthday cakes into a wedding cake. And she did. She helped me. So no. Let's not get
Shaw's
lovely, wonderful people at Publix confused with the people at Shaw's.
I don't know.
Not
why
that
I thought
the people at Shaw's aren't wonderful, I'm sure.
They're just hardened Northeasters.
But if they're out of Boston, they're hardened Northeasters.
Yeah. So we had to stop at Publix for a reason, but I think all the Publix were closed because it was Easter Sunday.
It was Easter Sunday.
So
right.
We ended up just like driving into Universal, which again, I think we were both kind of surprised at how, like, I think we were kind of worried about how high the crowd volume would be because it was Easter weekend, and it really wasn't as bad as I think either of us thought it could be for either Disney or Universal. So we drove, we parked in the garage, and we, like Dusty was saying before, went to proper Universal Studios first.
We did. And frankly, like, you are someone who, you are constantly worried about, like, crowds and weather, just as part of your Libra nature.
Right.
But you, like, I'm over here and I'm like, oh, it's Easter Sunday. Everybody's probably with their family, so nobody's going to be here. And you're like, no, it's Easter Sunday. Everybody's off. Of course everybody's going to be here. It's going to be slam-packed. And I'm like, David, can't you just embrace joy? Right?
And the answer is always no.
So, yeah, but the crowds weren't...
No, it wasn't bad at all.
It wasn't bad at all. We started in proper Universal. And the reason why was because we knew we were going to do Harry Potter World.
Mm-hmm.
And you can travel from one park to another via the Hogwarts Express. You can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But like you have to pay for a Hogwarts Express ticket, I believe.
No, I mean, if you got the tickets for both parks, you can do both.
You can do both.
You can just go back and forth endlessly. But I think if you get to the Hogwarts Express and you don't have the access, they're like,
yeah, you have to buy the other ticket.
You can pay for the other ticket here.
But we wanted to experience Harry Potter World as it is laid out in the book.
Right.
So we wanted to go to Diagon Alley first, mm-hmm. then
and
take
Nocturne Alley,
and then take the Hogwarts Express over to Hogsmeade and Hogwarts,
mm-hmm.
Which is in the Islands of Adventure section. But we let that be our last stop in proper Universal Studios.
Which part of this was also because I wasn't riding a lot of the rides because they were like simulator based. And as we talked about in our previous episode.
Well, you don't do simulators well and you don't do coasters.
I know. Which is why I don't go with you to Six Flags.
Exactly. I go to Six Flags with my friend Catherine once a year. We have for like literally the past 6 years, every Labor Day, like on Labor Day proper, because there's nobody there. But this last time, I'm not going to lie to you, like we rode King to Ka and we got off and we were like, okay, we're going to need to sit down and we're going to need to drink some water because I don't think that was good for my acid reflux. I mean, like that was how we felt.
Right.
So
it's because your bodies are just withering and dying.
We got there at 10 a.m. and I think we were done by 1:30.
Yeah.
Because we just like wrote everything and we were like, let's go to the mall. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we're in Universal Studios. The first thing we did was there was a giant roller coaster.
You went on the Rip Ride Rocket.
The Rip Ride Rocket, which is featured at the end of Kimmy Schmidt season 3.
Two.
Season 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which came out after we had been there.
Films you the whole time and turns your whole like experience riding this roller coaster into a music video.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, It was so much fun. It was a great roller coaster. I loved it. And because Universal is really good about single rider lines, whereas Disney is occasionally offering a single rider line, I was able to like get on and off that thing in like 15 minutes. Yeah. So you only had to like,
very quickly.
Stand with the bag for not too long. So after we left that, we also looked around to see like, okay, well,
there's like a transformer section, right?
What, yeah. What can you do that's not a coaster and not a simulator?
Nothing.
Did we do the Simpsons ride?
No, we thought about it, but it was like a simulator ride.
But it was a simulator.
But they did have Springfield, which was cool to kind of walk through.
Men in Black or something like that? There was like an alien ride.
We did go through the Men in Black ride.
There's an. I think it was Men in Black. I think it was Men in Black.
It was like the training, like for MIB, right? Like exactly like Will Smith undergoes in the first movie.
Exactly.
And it was set up like that. And it was kind of like any sort of ride where you're on, where you also have like a laser gun that you're shooting at targets to try to earn points.
Precisely.
Yeah, exactly.
And so after we did all of that, we made our way into Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Which this is clearly where Universal has put its time, energy, and effort.
Right.
Because they seriously got all this right.
Oh, yeah.
The Diagon Alley, Nocturne Alley, Harry Potter area is like Disney level good.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to Disney, Disney is all about the details. If you go into a Disney park, most of them are separated into different areas. And like a cast member who is in Frontierland has a specific outfit that they wear.
Right. You'll never see them anywhere else.
And you will never see them anywhere else.
Because there's tunnels.
There's tunnels that they underneath, right? Exactly. Those small, tiny little details that they think about is what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. It is what is the like lightning in a bottle, bottled up magic that they sell you.
Right.
Like the fact that you never see like the building where like the ride actually like is contained.
Right.
Like you only see the facade that looks, you know, like picturesque and like appropriate for the story they're telling.
Yeah.
They use trees. They use other things to like block the view of all that stuff. Universal doesn't do that all.
No.
All the time. No, they just sort of, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But when it comes to Harry Potter world, they have done all of that.
Yeah.
That was epic and expensive, and they did it right the first time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It just was, you really did feel like you had entered into the film. There was so much to like just be kind of amazed at. And that attention to detail, like you were saying, and just seeing like the carryover of the set design from the film to be carried into this theme park was just stupendous. And it just felt like you were living in this environment. Like it really did feel like they had immersed you into the space.
Fully immersed, yes.
And I'd been to Universal before, but a long time ago when I was like in fourth grade. We used to go down a lot because my grandparents lived in Jupiter, Florida. So we would kind of like visit them once
Jupiter,
a year.
Florida Jupiter, Florida is where American Horror Story season 4 takes place.
That's right, which you told me never to watch because it's not great.
Don't.
Yeah, no, don't.
Just skip it. Just skip Coven and then Hotel.
That's right, Hotel. But yeah, so we had gone, and at the time, they had like all the old like movie rides, like the Jaws ride was there. They had King Kong. And yeah, I remember going all of those rides. And my brother was much younger than I.
They had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes, they had an entire environment that you could go through.
That was, well, Honey, I Shrunk. No, you know what I'm thinking about? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was MGM Disney.
Was it really?
Back to the Future was a ride they had in Universal.
It was like a simulator ride.
Simulator, which then became The Simpsons.
Okay. I could have sworn that they had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids at Universal.
Nope.
It was at Disney?
Yep.
Because it was a big, giant playground area that you were,
right,
like,
by it
in.
When we went to MGM.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I just remember, like, being very, like, into those. Those were, like, all animatronic rides. Like, the Jaws ride and the King Kong ride was this, like, amazingly done, very detail-oriented. Like, you were, like, going through a city on, like, a subway almost.
It's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, they used to say, like, Universal Studios ride the movies.
Right.
Used to be their slogan. And it still kind of is. That's yeah. still the thing they do.
Yeah.
Because each Harry Potter world section has at least one or two main stage rides
yeah.
that are the ride that you do when you're there. In Diagon Alley...
It was the Escape from Gringotts.
Escape from Gringotts. Exactly. That was one of those rides that was so good. The technology involved with bringing that ride to life was so well done mm-hmm. that like you could not see the seams.
Right.
You could not see what happened where and when.
It was very interesting too. It was a coaster, but it was also video interactive. So yes. like there were parts where you would like get to a section of like the cave underneath Gringotts and you would see Daniel Radcliffe giving you directions. And it was very clear that they had these actors film these scenes for
this. I hope they
this.
Get, you know...
Some kickback?
Residuals on that? Yeah. I doubt they do.
But it was really interesting to see that, like, these, you know, actors who had performed in over 7 films were like, yeah, we're going to do, like, some ride stuff, too.
Yeah, because it's probably written in their contract
of
the film that if it does become a ride, they have to do it.
Yeah. But, it was a lot of fun. It was, like, a super good time. And it was cool because you were, like... Again, this is like where attention to detail comes in. Like when we talked about going through Everest and like being online in Everest and like seeing all like the story kind of laid out in front of you.
Waiting in line at Gringotts was really fun. Yeah. Did we both do single rider on that? I think we did. It didn't.
But we ended up on the same ride.
We ended up on the same one. But like we didn't wait long for the Gringotts ride.
No, we went through pretty
quick. But the line was super long. Mm-hmm. Like it was an hour and a half wait or something, but they had a single rider option,
right.
Which that's my thing. I'm like, I refuse to go to a theme park with more than one person. Like the second that a third person is like even floated, like as an idea, I'm
it
like, no, I'm out.
Dynamics,
goodbye.
Yeah.
No, because then like I can deal with one other person who like does theme parks just like me, which is my friend Catherine,
right.
And why
what about
we get
like
along
a
so
second
well.
Couple though, because then it makes it easier to split off if you need to.
What do you mean?
Like if it was like 4 people, is it just that it's the odd number or no?
No, it's just that it's more than another person. Because like you and another person can both get in the single rider line
right.
and not like be there for very long
yeah.
and basically ride the ride around the same time. And then get off. You know, not that like 4 or 5 people can't do the same thing.
Right.
But
it's just as harder.
This is the thing that I can't stand is when people are like when there's someone in the group that's like, but I want all of us to stay together. I'm like, oh, stop. You're out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have like a dear friend that I will not go to a theme park with her because that is exactly how she behaves.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to be together. Like, let's see what so-and-so wants to do. Let's
right.
see it. And I'm like, no. Goodbye. I want to do this. Bye. And
yeah.
I just leave the group.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. So I don't anymore.
Yeah.
But the Gringotts ride was fantastic.
Yeah.
So Diagon Alley and Nocturne Alley, which, like, I mean, I don't know how old you were, but I was probably, I don't know, like, 6 months ago old when I put together, like, Diagon Alley is also diagonally
uh-huh.
and nocturnally. Whatever. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Anyway, it is totally made to spec.
Mm-hmm.
It was super fun. It was super filled with people.
Yeah.
And from there, after we rode the Gringotts ride, there wasn't really much else to do there. I mean, we went into every little, like,
oh, yeah,
store, every little alcove, like,
where
every
can
little
I buy
everything.
My Ravenclaw gear?
I did buy my Ravenclaw gear there.
That's right.
Because in my previous trip, I was reading Harry Potter for the first time,
right,
as an adult, and I bought
Gryffindor
stuff.
And you were like, no.
And I was like, false. No, I'm a Ravenclaw. Through and through.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
You are a Hufflepuff.
No, I'm not. I'm a Ravenclaw as well.
I know. According to
Pottermore.
Right.
Right.
But what is your Patronus?
A beautiful black stallion. What about you, Dusty?
A rat.
A pizza rat.
It's a rat. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, yeah, but my Patronus,
I think we have,
is a rat.
Yeah.
We head on to the Hogwarts Express. Which was fun. They have this fun little thing that makes it look like you're walking through a wall, mm-hmm, even when you're not. Like you're going, you know, to platform 9 3/4,
yeah,
at King's Cross Station.
Yep.
And
they even have some callback advertisements to the film that were like,
yeah,
in like a scene at 9 3/4 or like at a subway station, I think in the 6th film. So it's like fun to see like how they've incorporated that stuff from the film as well, while also making it look like a London train station.
So when you're riding the Hogwarts Express, there aren't real windows. Like the windows are screens, and it is showing you what you would see if you were to ride the Hogwarts Express. Mm-hmm. And like, there is of course like story that they tell, like, what is it, like Death Eaters or something? You're suddenly on the train or something like that.
I feel like Dementors fly by the window,
that's
too.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
But you do finally make it over to Hogsmeade, which is over in Islands of Adventure.
Right.
Now, I had been to Islands of Adventure prior to it having Harry Potter World in,
okay,
it, because I'd gone there in 2005 on my high school senior trip. The roller coaster that is in the Harry Potter World section is modeled after the dragons from the 4th book,
mm-hmm,
but that is really just a recycled coaster from
Old Islands of Adventure
uh-huh, called Dueling Dragons.
Okay.
That they rebranded,
okay,
to be
that's funny,
the Harry Potter.
Well, I mean, if it works, it works.
If it works, it works.
Right.
That is the only example I know of that how they've done that, because,
okay,
everything else was built really to spec. So
yeah,
here we have Hogsmeade and Hogwarts.
And Hogsmeade was so cool.
Oh, it was perfect. And there's snow, mm-hmm, all over the buildings, and it's beautiful and lovely.
We
and
ate at the Three Broomsticks, right?
We did, because it's there, and you can get butterbeer, which, let's be real, butterbeer is just like cream soda
with extra sugar. It was so sweet.
Extra sugar. And then some foam on top.
It was like, I would never do it again.
No. I think you got real butterbeer and I got like the adult beverage beer.
Oh, did you?
Because
they had fire whiskey too for adults. But that lunch was banging.
It was turkey legs.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
No, and they did a good job there. And I feel like we had like, it was kind of like family style seating and we moved through the line really quickly. But I feel like we sat next to
these women.
These
no,
women.
Or these two women, yeah, who were there together. And one of them worked for Wells Fargo.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up talking about the Wells Fargo app. And she's like, get ready because very soon it's going to have like thumbprint recognition. And I was like, oh, great.
Like, yeah. I mean, and then Wells Fargo totally like crapped the bed, like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because they had all of those issues. But no, I feel like we like kind of nerded out over Harry Potter. Like we talked a lot about like Harry,
yes,
Potter with them. And like just had some like general nerdery. Yeah. And then you rode Dueling Dragons or whatever the ride is called.
Oh,
now.
I did.
And I was like, nope. I'm just going to sit here
and watch the girls from the girls' school do their sort of like routine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Belle Battens girls,
yeah, exactly,
from the French school. Yeah. And then we went into the castle.
We did to do the Hogwarts ride.
Yeah, and the castle is like for all forced perspective to make it look like gigantic from like where you're at.
It's so good.
And it's really, really well done. And the Hogwarts ride is similar to how the Gringotts ride is set up, where it's like you're on...
It's sort of like a roller coaster. You're like in
a gondola, but like...
Well, you're in a thing that's sort of like on an outstretched like an arm.
Yeah.
And the arm is on a track and like it swings you around. In
right.
A place, right.
And there's screens.
And there are screens and like you... But I couldn't see any seams. Now, I do know of some friends of mine who have gone during a time when like the ride needed maintenance work. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up getting stuck.
Oh.
And they were like, all the lights came on. You could see everything.
Oh.
Which that I would love to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were like, that's when I could see the seams.
I just remember feeling like, oh, this was like felt like more like one of those like simulator rides for me. Mm. Just because it was like, oh, I'm on an arm.
But I think you're glad you did
it. No. It was very worth it. And it was so, so cool. And again, you have like Emma Watson. So many Emmas.
Emma Roberts is
American Horror Story.
Emma Thompson is like
your British
the
mother.
Genius queen British mother.
Yeah. Who's also in Harry Potter.
Right.
Professor Trelawney.
Yes. And she just became a dame.
Oh, did she?
Dame Emma Thompson.
Oh. Is she going to be in Tea with Dames part two?
Maybe. Maybe. It's just Emma Thompson monologuing for 3 hours.
I love it. And listening to Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell.
Yes, exactly. Oh, can I tell
I've
you?
I've looked at clouds from both sides now.
That, I did karaoke this weekend and I put that song on.
And
this
crowd
was
wept.
a Korean place. The version that they had of that song was a very like... upbeat, almost like clown car version of that song.
Oh.
It was disturbing. I can't.
Yeah. So they had like Emma Watson and like Rupert Grint and Daniel Radcliffe show up and they were all on like the screen as you were passing. But the Hogwarts ride was very, very, very cool too.
It was the coolest. After we left the Harry Potter section there, mm-hmm. We went and did the other stuff around...
There's like a Marvel section.
There was. Didn't we do Jurassic Park?
I don't think so.
I thought we did. Didn't we do Jurassic Park? It was like you go through and it has like one... It's like a water ride. You don't get too wet. Maybe we opted to not do it because we didn't want to get wet.
We didn't want to get wet.
That was that.
Yeah.
Because we were being queens right then. I had done it before.
Right.
A couple of times.
I think you probably described it to me.
And you were like, no, I'm good.
I think we walked by the bridge. I think we were also like still recovering
tired.
From like eating our way through all of Disney the day before.
Did we do the ride where like it was like a live show that was like 360 about like the like person looking for the treasure and it was in Egypt. Did we do that?
No.
Okay, well, that's there.
Okay.
Maybe I did that with my mom when we went.
Okay.
There were a couple of other rides that I did that you didn't do.
Right. Sounds
in that
right.
section. But, like, the Hulk was closed.
Right.
Which was a bummer. But I think Spider-Man was open. Did you do Spider-Man?
No.
I think I did
Just
Spider-Man.
Just assume I did nothing. After Hogwarts, I did nothing.
No, you were around. You did some stuff.
I was like in like...
There were some kiddie rides.
There was like Dr. Seuss land that we walked through too.
Yeah, it's true. We did.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually found myself like as impressed as I was with the Hogwarts stuff and the Harry Potter stuff, I found myself way less impressed with Universal. Part of the main reason we'd gone was for the Harry Potter stuff. And it was like you had to pay this extra fee because you had to, you know, if you wanted to see both of the Harry Potter sections, like... And I feel like Disney, there's just like a different quality and a different feel there. Like
obviously.
It doesn't feel as like motivated by money, even though it is, you know?
Right. It doesn't feel, and it makes the difference.
And Universal feels like it's just like, give me money hand over fist. You know what I mean?
Right.
It felt like less family.
I feel like they put the effort mm-hmm. of quality really into that Harry Potter section.
Yeah, I feel like that's where they sunk most of that quality, you know?
For those of you out there wondering if we decided to go to SeaWorld while we were in Orlando, the answer is
no.
Not no, but hell no. Yeah. Because no orca whale should not be in captivity. Mm-mm. So goodbye, no girl.
Goodbye, y'all.
SeaWorld can go home. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Let's end this episode by covering all of the Harry Potter basics.
Beautiful. I love it.
Okay, so Hogwarts house.
Ravenclaw.
Also Ravenclaw. But right. What would be your secondary house if you had one?
Gryffindor.
Okay, I think mine would be Slytherin if I had a secondary house. Which subject at Hogwarts would you be most wanting to take?
Transfiguration.
Interesting. Mine would be the Hogwarts of history. Oh. I'm just obsessed with history.
That's right.
And I really want her to write that book, Hogwarts of history, because I know it's a textbook that they used.
Yeah.
Favorite book of the 7 Harry Potter books?
5. Order of the Phoenix.
Oh my God, stop. That's my favorite too. That's also my favorite film.
Yeah, me too.
I just feel like...
Although 3 is a close contender.
Preserve 3 is Azkaban. Also good. Yeah. 3 is also... I mean, 4 is wonderful. They're all great. But like 5 to me was like the tonal shift that I didn't know I was longing for.
Yeah.
And then she just like things gave it dark. And served it like so hard that I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So thanks, Joanne. Joanna.
Joanna.
I loved that. And I thought that the movie understood that tonal shift in a major way.
Right.
Which Harry Potter character are you?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think we've covered this before. I mean, I am mostly in my walking life a Hermione Granger, but I say that I am a Gilderoy Lockhart.
I feel like Kingsley Shacklebolt was like someone that came up for me in the past. Yeah. I'm probably also a Hermione Granger in my waking life.
How did you feel in the 7th movie, part 1, when Harry and Hermione had that little impromptu dance inside of the tent?
I think I was kind of like, I'm like a very much like, give me the canon. Like, I want to see canon. And I was like, where is this coming from? This is like ancillary bullshit I don't need.
Now, I'm on the other side of that because I loved it. And I was like, you know what? This is my thing. It's like when it comes to the book and the film, I don't feel this way all the time, but the majority of the time, I mean, they're two different mediums.
Yeah.
So like, I really want the movie to be its own experience and the book to be its own experience.
I understand that.
And if we didn't live in a culture that turned so many books into movies, or if we lived in a culture that celebrated sort of like the artistic liberties that people take in different mediums, like, because you can have the potential to have like a completely unique experience with a story via a film and a different specific experience with a story via a book.
Yeah.
And they can be totally separate from each other.
Yeah.
And that is with the Harry Potter world. Like, they were most of the time pretty honest. That third movie really did like change things up a whole lot. And there were certainly like plot points that are mentioned more in the books than there are in the films, but whatever.
Right.
I'm not a movie reviewer, but I'm just saying that, like...
4 stars.
that's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But I did love that because I thought that was a move from the filmmaker to go, you know what? I really want to show, like, that they are friends and still, like... help each other and support each other in a way.
And capable of joy in a very dark time.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I really appreciated that. Mm-hmm.
So I see where you're coming
from.
That's
why I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather operate or be able to fly?
You know what? I'm going to choose joy over function here. I'm going to choose the fly because of the feeling that you would get.
Right.
Operate would be like, I could certainly like get places faster.
Yeah.
But flying would feel really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose that.
If you went to Hogwarts, what would most likely be your superlative upon leaving Hogwarts?
Most likely to break the curve.
Oh, okay.
That was me in college.
Okay.
Like in every class because I was like such an overachiever.
Okay.
Because I was like, people would be like, everybody just do badly so that we can like have, you know, she can grade on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can grade on a curve.
Right.
But that never happened.
Yeah, because you broke it all the time.
I always broke the curve. If a professor gives you extra credit on a test and you don't do it, that to me is just the dumbest thing.
Right.
Do the extra credit. Always.
Yeah. Who's your favorite villain?
My favorite villain?
Mm-hmm.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Mm.
Just, I will take her doing anything any day.
Okay.
I just like her weirdness. What about yours?
I think Professor Umbridge, just because I know a Professor Umbridge or two.
Betsy DeVos?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know a Professor Umbridge or two in my waking life. Right. And, you know, I can really relate to that character because I know so many of them.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. People who are running things in education who have no right doing it. Right.
Right. Yeah, for sure. What type of pet? What would be your magical pet?
Oh, weren't there limits? What were... It could
cats,
either be...
owls, frogs.
Cats, owls, or frogs. Okay, well, it's not going to be a cat. Because while I enjoy cats and I get along famously with them, I am very much a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, me and a cat would just like sit at home and look at each other and never really interact. We would just be like, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you only because I have to.
Right.
Now you have to feed me. I mean, it would be like that, right? So it would be an owl.
Okay.
What about yours?
Yeah, it would probably be an owl too. I like cats a lot too, but I feel like
I want something that's going to be able to fly around. Yes.
Screech at me.
Fly around as much as you fly around. Yeah. Just generally speaking in your life. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. And if you have any questions or tips about trails, you can email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.